This is approved. Item 906.
Pay claim of Tiffany Eggleton in the sum of $15,000 involving the Police Bureau.
Morning.
Morning.
Good morning, Commissioners. I'm Jim Rice. I'm a Deputy City Attorney. I was assigned a case to work on, and it involved a woman who had two names. Actually, her name was Tiffany Lynn Wilson, and her present name is Tiffany Eggleton. There was a different Tiffany Wilson in Jefferson County. She committed theft, and a warrant was issued in her name. Jefferson County made a string of errors. They attached Tiffany Eggleton and or Tiffany Wilson's identification, her Social Security number, her LEDS number, her ID numbers. And in Portland, Oregon, two police officers were going to assist Tiffany Eggleton with a child dispute issue. On the way out, they were notified there's a warrant on her behalf. So they met her at the scene, and they talked to her about the warrant. She said it's the wrong person. She had identification in both names. And to resolve the problem, what they do, they would take her to the Multnomah County Jail and fingerprint her, and the fingerprints would, in fact, then identify was it the correct person or not. Unfortunately, our Tiffany Lynn Wilson Eggleton had been in the criminal justice system, so the fingerprints matched. She was put into the Multnomah County Detention Center to be transported to Jefferson County. They do that once a week. She had just missed what I'll call the van or the bus, however they transport them. So she spent a week in the Multnomah County jail. She told the jailers, it is the wrong person. One of our detectives became involved in this because he knew her on this child support issue matter. And he actually called out to Jefferson County trying to find out, is this the correct person? And one way to do that would be to get the photograph of the person from Jefferson County and look at the photograph of our individual here. Unfortunately, Jefferson County didn't have a photograph. So she spent a week in the Multnomah County jail. Multnomah County did not release her. Jefferson County wouldn't allow her to be bailed out. And then she was transported to Jefferson County. Our Portland police officers' notification to Jefferson County was such they were prepared to immediately look into, is this or is this not the correct person? They came to the determination it was the wrong person, and what they did was they drove her essentially home back to Portland, Oregon. She sued, or her lawyer, I should say, sued Jefferson County, the prime defendant who really made this string of errors. Multnomah County, because they kept her in jail for a solid week and never really determined is this or is this not the correct person, and additionally the Portland police for arresting her out on the street. Day one I got this case, I said someone was wrongfully arrested here and we need to try and mediate this thing immediately, and I became the moving force to get that done. It took a while, but we were fortunate to get former Oregon Supreme Court Justice Susan Leeson involved in the matter. We held a mediation. It wasn't quite resolved, but shortly thereafter, we came to a conclusion of the matter. Multnomah County is paying a significantly larger amount than we are. Jefferson County, to date, I don't believe has paid anything at all. And we came up with a number of $15,000 to try and resolve this matter. If this matter went to trial, I think we'd either get a defense verdict or perhaps we would get perhaps 10% liability in this scale of fault if we were to look at. We were the small fish in this matter. And she's asking for $300,000. So if we were subject to a 10% amount, that would be approximately $30,000. We also really don't want to put this woman through a trial unnecessarily. It was easy actually to work with her and her lawyer ultimately. Becky Chow from Risk Management spent a lot of time on this case, and we came up with a $15,000 award for her. So we would, in a sense, be removed from the case. She would get that sum of money to move on, you know, with her life. Under all attendant circumstances, it seems a fair resolution of this particular matter. If any of you have any questions.
I have two questions.
Sure, Commissioner.
I just want to be clear, what is the specific wrong that's alleged against the Police Bureau? And then separately, based on this incident, what steps have we taken to try to prevent this from happening again? So what's the specific wrong, and then how will we work to prevent this from happening again?
False arrest was the claim, because you've arrested the wrong person. I immediately try and work proactively never to have anything happen again. I've been working with the fingerprint technicians who are criminalists with the Portland Police Bureau. And I actually asked, how often is there a mix-up in fingerprinting, even nationally? And the only case that I can come up with after speaking to them is, we probably remember this, we had a lawyer from Beaverton who was accused of being involved in the terrorist bombing in Spain when an FBI technician actually misidentified a fingerprint. And that seems to be the sole fingerprint error. But the real way that we do tell people is by looking at fingerprints, as these are individually done. Technology's becoming involved now, too. Iris scans, there's a series of new ways that the FBI is working on trying to sort of double-check things as well. And in this particular case, I've asked our officers, if all these identifiers match, how would you solve the problem? And they said it's fingerprints, and they actually gave me cases where I'm arrested, I'm Jim Rice, and I go, I'm not that Jim Rice, and they will take people to Multnomah County Jail. They fingerprint, they find out it's the wrong person, they'll take them home. So there's no absolutely positive way it would never happen again.
Was she not eligible for a bail hearing in Multnomah County because the warrant issued in another county?
Correct. And they actually tried to get her out. And Jefferson County has, I guess, a different attitude than we might have, because this is a misdemeanor theft case.
Why didn't Multnomah County just release her on her own recognizance with a requirement that she report to Jefferson County?
I can't really answer. I think Multnomah County would have to answer that, but Jefferson County was adamant that she not be released.
Well, then just, I guess the last question is, we had someone that through a regrettable series of errors spent a week in jail, but we're also having to provide services to someone in jail who is completely innocent. Why are we on the timeline of Jefferson County in terms of transportation? Why doesn't Multnomah County simply have a rule that if there's another county that wants someone to be transferred, they have to make arrangements within 24 hours?
You know, I don't know that, but I...
Because it could be, you said it's a weekly shuttle.
Yeah.
But it could just as easily be a monthly shuttle, or maybe it's an annual shuttle. I mean, why does Multnomah County accept that? Why don't we have a rule that says, yep, within 24 hours, that person has to be moved? Because, in effect, what you're doing is delaying by 1 week their right to have a bail hearing to determine initially that there's a mistake, which any other defendant would in Multnomah County would have the right to do.
I think it's a great idea. It may be a funding issue. I can tell you this. When we met with Justice Leeson, the head of the jail was there, and they were working, trying to figure out how do we never have this problem happen again. They had someone really high up in the sheriff's department.
Can I make one suggestion? Again,
absolutely.
We don't run the jail system, but we do have things called video conferencing. We do have other avenues.
Sure.
And my guess is that had a judge been presented with this case and her side of it, it would have given pause, and she probably would have been eligible for bail.
She actually contacted two different lawyers in this case. Her family on the outside was not particularly cooperative with her, but she had a criminal defense. She had a domestic relations lawyer. It's kind of a complicated matter.
We don't have to go into that. I'm just...
Sure.
I think we'd like to hear what, in terms of lessons learned, and the police officers, after all, were executing what they thought was a valid warrant.
Correct.
But in terms of lessons learned and how the Multnomah County and Jefferson County court system handled this, I think we'd like some additional information on that.
Okay, yeah.
Because in a regrettable set of circumstances like this, it doesn't make sense that someone has to wait a week in a Multnomah County jail simply because there's a problem in transporting them to the place that has jurisdiction. That seems grossly unfair.
I think you're completely correct. And actually, the video conferencing idea is really good. I'll follow up on this, and I'll talk to the Multnomah County Attorney's Office and ask him to speak to the jailer about that, and I'll report back to you on that.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions? Okay, thanks, Jim.
You're welcome.
Does anybody wish to testify on this item? Okay, I see two. Three people, okay.
Let me go first.
I was going to start with Dan, but Dan's deferring to you. So go ahead. You go first and give us
your
name.
Yeah, this issue.
You've got 3 minutes.
The police use for warrants, I think, is the only time the police should really be able to detain you if you're violent or you're a threat to the community or something like that. I don't, if it's a theft issue, why don't somebody just arrest this person some other time? It ties up a police car to drag them down here. Unless a person is a threat to other people, I don't like the Portland Police Department used to apprehend people. That could be done at other times, you know, find out where they live and then do it then.
Thank you. Good morning, Commissioner Saltzman and other commissioners. My name is Dan Handelman. I'm with Group Portland Cop Watch. I came down here this morning because the limited information in the agenda item online didn't make it clear what the other agency was that had misidentified this person. I'm glad to hear that, you know, the city attorney is identifying Jefferson County very loudly and repeatedly. It would be very helpful to post the paperwork. The court paperwork is public record, I understand, when it's filed, and it would be great to have that online so that we could learn those things without having to come down to council. And my initial reaction to reading the description said that Ms. Eggleton's name was attached to her FBI numbers in the law enforcement data system, and so I suspected that this might have something to do with the Joint Terrorism Task Force, because as we've had that discussion over the many years, we talked about how, in violation of Oregon law, the FBI has much lower standards to suspect somebody of criminal wrongdoing, and that they might put somebody into a database with the help of the Portland police, who are now working with them, and that person can never get their name out again. So I just want to, you know, you're saying, I'm glad Commissioner Fisk asked, how can we stop this from happening again? I think we should be very wary about these multi-jurisdictional identification systems, and especially working with the FBI. It's pretty clear they're not involved directly in this case, but this is a good time to think about that again. Remember, the JTTF got rejoined last year by a 3-2 vote. We have a new police commissioner coming in, and I'm hoping that you'll all think about revisiting that one more time. I also want to say that, you know, I'm glad that it was also explained that the $15,000 was a small amount of money about what Ms. Eggleton is going to receive, because it was a very huge violation of her rights. And the city attorney has explained that the other agencies are probably going to pay out more than that. It has come to our attention, and we watch the city council agenda every week, that there haven't been a lot of lawsuits about the police coming before you. Most of them have to do with car crashes lately. And we're not sure if that's because a lot of them are being entered as judgments. And I understand there's a lot of ones that are being settled for $5,000 or less, which means it doesn't have to come before you. It would be great, especially because it's part of the FBI, I mean, the DOJ agreement, to have some public explanation of all the lawsuit settlements that have happened, judgments, whatever you want to call them, anything where money's been paid out because of police wrongdoing, so that the community can look at that and see what's going on, as you know, in terms of patterns. And finally, with the last 30 seconds, I just want to say, you know, I'm sorry nobody from CopWatch was able to come to your hearing Monday night about the IPR and the changing of our review system. I want to repeatedly ask you to please slow down this process. Stop trying to rush it in before September 7th. There's too many unknowns, and there's too many people who are opposed to you taking these hearings behind closed doors, and we want you to delay that. And in the meantime, everybody here except Commissioner Fritz, needs to replace their members of the Community Oversight Advisory Boards. They have a quorum. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. West, you have 3 minutes. Give us your name, and you have 3 minutes.
Hey, my name is Robert West. I'm from the Police 911. And I want you guys to think about, if you were on a public street and a police officer came up and said that he had a warrant for you and arrested you, and you spent a week in the Multnomah County Jail, and then you were transported to another county, and you spent a couple days in that county jail, what would that be worth? What, the loss of work, the embarrassment, having your name put in Busted magazine? What is that worth? Is that worth only $15,000? This lady suffered a lot. And, you know, you can sit there and say, well, yeah, she was in the FBI system or whatever. But the thing is she was arrested for a crime she did not commit. And it's the police, every officer should work to make sure that he arrests the right person. And and that's what I wanted to bring up to you guys. Is what if this were to happen to you, would you be happy to settle for $15,000?
Okay. Thank you, Mr. West.
Commissioner Saltzman, I forgot to say, one of the things they asked, the police ask people when they get arrested is, what's your date of birth? And I don't understand why the date of birth wasn't identified as this being the wrong person. Thank you.
Okay, this is an emergency ordinance, so please call the roll.
I was going to speak to you, Your Honor.
Oh, okay. Give us your name, and you have 3 minutes.
So my name is David Keith Davis with Multnomah County Cop Watch, separate from Portland Cop Watch. But basically, inmates make the county about $200 a day, so it seems that about almost $1,500 was made off of arresting this person falsely. And I'm pretty sure that they knew that they had the wrong suspect, and then they just shipped her off to the next county, because I don't see how it could be all that confusing and having a week to go over all this with the inmate repeatedly saying she's the wrong person. And I agree with Nick Fish that, you know, we shouldn't even be housing inmates from other counties or other jurisdictions, and they need to actually have a hearing quick so they can clear their name if there is any stuff like this, because obviously the justice system is totally flawed. And also, you know, this person on a minor theft charge to waste so much money and resources is kind of ridiculous in itself. And I think that, you know, a lot of the reasons that there's a lot of problems in the world is over-policing, you know, and dealing with stuff like this instead of dealing with stuff like child sex trafficking, which Portland is number one for, you know. I mean, the reality is there's about as much money spent on parking enforcement as there is on child sex trafficking, and that's just going around writing tickets for cars that are parked in the wrong place. So, you know, you guys have these mixed up priorities to begin with, and then they result in stuff like this, because the whole justice system is a rotten, bloated, corrupt corpse. Okay? So why would you try and revive a rotten, bloated, corrupt corpse to begin with? That, you know, you guys need to reform the toxic justice system of America. And, you know, you want to act like you're progressives? Well, then do something progressive, you know. And how about this? How about give her an extra $15,000, an extra $30,000, because $15,000, that's not worth a week in jail, you know, eating bologna sandwiches and being losing your job or whatever else might have been.
Okay, thank you.
That happened to her.
Okay, Carla, please call the roll.
Novick.
This is a really awful story, and although the city's involvement obviously was relatively minor, I'm happy to vote aye.
On behalf of the city, I apologize to Ms. Eggleston for our portion of the damages, and I appreciate her willingness to settle for this amount. Aye.
Fish.
I appreciate the city attorney who came forward and gave us the whole background on this. I think it was important. And we had a couple of people testify about, is our portion satisfactory? And the reason that I'm going to support this settlement is that Ms. Eggleton was represented by counsel and chose to go to mediation, where an experienced mediator help the parties apportion responsibility and come up with a number. And mediation is a voluntary system. No one is required to follow the outcome of mediation. But if Ms. Eggleton and her attorney believe this is an appropriate settlement, then I think it's our duty to affirm it. Aye.
Eltzman.
Aye. The ordinance is approved.